Amen. Well, today we're moving to Luke chapter 23. We're almost to the end of the book of Luke. And I'll be reading verses 1 through 25. Luke chapter 23, verses 1 through 25. Then the whole multitude of them arose and led him to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We have found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ the King." Then Pilate asked him, saying, "Are you the King of the Jews?" He answered him and said, "It is as you say." So Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowd, "I find no fault in this man." But they were more fierce, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, beginning from Judea to this place." When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked if the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at the time. Now when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he desired for a long time to see him, because he had heard many things about him, and he had hoped to see some miracle done by him. Then he questioned him with many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and the scribes stood and vehemently accused him. Then Herod, with his men of war, treated him with contempt and mocked him, arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him back to Pilate. That very day Pilate and Herod became friends with each other, for previously they had been at enmity with each other. Then Pilate, when he called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, said to them, "You have brought this man to me as one who misleads the people, and indeed, having examined him in your presence, I have found no fault in this man concerning those things of which you accuse him. No, neither did Herod, for I sent you back to him, and indeed nothing deserving of death has been done by him. I will therefore chastise him and release him, for it was necessary for him to release one to them at the feast." And they all cried out at once, saying, "Away with this man! And release to us Barabbas, who had been thrown into prison for a certain rebellion made in the city and for murder." Pilate, therefore, wishing to release Jesus, again called out to them, but they shouted, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Then he said to them the third time, "Why, what evil has he done? I have found no reason for death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go." But they were insistent, demanding with loud voices that he be crucified. And the voices of these men and of the chief priests prevailed. So Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they requested, and he released to them the one they requested, who for rebellion and murder had been thrown into prison, but he delivered Jesus to their wills. Because of his desires, his intents that we read about in this passage, I've heard many speak of Pilate as if Pilate was a good man. He was a good man desiring to do a good thing, and he was just in a difficult situation. And yet what the Bible says about him contradicts this. If you remember in Luke chapter 13, some time ago, we read this verse in Luke 13:1. It says, "There were present at that time some who told him," meaning Jesus, "about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices." He had mingled the blood of people who were sacrificing lambs, probably for the Passover, with the blood of the lambs. As it is written, it says in Romans, 3 verses 10 and 11, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. And Pilate was not a righteous man because there's no such thing apart from Christ as a righteous man, a good man. It may be good that he was trying to get Jesus off. He was trying to save Jesus from this mob that was trying to crucify him. And yet Pilate sees Jesus' innocence not because Pilate had an eagle eye for innocence, but only because it was blatantly obvious. Jesus was obviously innocent. He was obviously righteous. And he was much more than that. And so I'll start here with just that. Pilate's first and lasting impression of Jesus is that he is innocent. That's one of the main themes of this portion of Scripture. Starting in verses 1 through 4, it says, "Then the whole multitude of them arose and led him to Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, 'We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to pay tax to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, the king.' Then Pilate asked him, saying, 'Are you the king of the Jews?' He answered him and said, 'It is as you say.' So Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowd, 'I find no fault in this man.'" To go by just what Luke says about this, it seems that Pilate made a very quick decision about Jesus' innocence, which says to me, and even if you read the other Gospels, it was still quick, even though they fill in some things maybe that Luke doesn't say. But it indicates to me that when Pilate made this decision, he saw something more than just the words in Jesus. I believe he saw Jesus' demeanor. Jesus is gentle. Jesus is kind. Jesus is calm, even when he's been beaten, even when they are yelling against him. He is handling himself well, and at the same time, Pilate would also see the demeanor of Jesus' adversaries. They were out for blood. He could tell, I believe, from the very start, that what their goal was and how they were acting. And this is true no matter which of the Gospels we look at. If we look at John's Gospel, we see at least a little bit more of the questioning. Because in John chapter 18, starting with verse 33, it says, "Then Pilate entered the praetorium again and called Jesus and said to him, 'Are you the king of the Jews?' Jesus answered him, 'Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?' Pilate answered, 'Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?' Jesus answered, 'My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here.' Pilate therefore said to him, 'Are you a king then?' Jesus answered, 'You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice.' Pilate said to him, 'What is truth?' And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, 'I find no fault in him at all.'" There you get a little more of the questioning that probably happened at this same time. It's still not a long time with Jesus. It's still not a whole lot of questions. Jesus' words here, you see, that his kingdom was not of this world, that may have contributed to Pilate's judgment that there was nothing worthy of death. If his kingdom is not of this world, how is that any threat to Rome? His question to Jesus, "What is truth?" could have been asked a variety of different ways. Some people say it was asked sarcastically. Our modern world would ask that sarcastically, because we live in a world that doesn't believe in truth anymore. What is truth? There's no such thing, according to our modern world. He could have been asking it thoughtfully, though. What is truth? Maybe he did see something more in Jesus at that time, and he's asking him, what is truth? Or it could be that he was asking it sympathetically. He could have been saying, what is truth? Meaning, yeah, you may represent the truth, but what good is truth doing you now when you have this mob saying, crucify him, crucify him? That might have been Pilate's attitude. Yet he's convinced. Whatever truth is, the truth that Pilate is convinced about Jesus is that he is innocent, because as soon as Jesus said that, he goes out and tells the people again that he finds no fault in Jesus. Jesus' innocence was something that many were convinced of. Pilate alone was not the only one who was saying that Jesus was innocent at that time. Judas was one who was saying Jesus was innocent. His ex-apostle and betrayer was convinced that Jesus was innocent. Judas says in Matthew chapter 27, 3 and 4, then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. Judas was remorseful. He sinned for betraying innocent blood. He betrayed Jesus. After that, Judas committed suicide. Pilate's wife was convinced of Jesus' innocence. It says, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him saying, have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him. Matthew 27:13. His wife was sending him notes saying, don't have anything to do with that just man. She was convinced he was innocent, not just innocent, but just. Just is a little more powerful word than innocent. Innocent. A person can be innocent just not committing a crime. He can be innocent of that certain one crime that he doesn't do. But a just man is righteous in everything. And she says, have nothing to do with that just man. Additionally, the fox, Herod, a wicked man, and the one who was even Pilate's enemy, agreed with Pilate in regard to Christ's innocence. That very day, it says, Pilate and Herod became friends with each other, for previously they had been at enmity with one another. Then Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers of the people, said to them, you have brought this man to me as one who misleads the people, and indeed having examined him in your presence, I found no fault in this man concerning those things of which you accuse him. No, neither did Herod, for I sent you back to him, and indeed nothing deserving of death has been done by him. And so Herod, who's called by Jesus the fox, and it's important to know that the word fox, and I don't know yet what I'm going to preach next week, but I may talk about Herod more. Fox doesn't mean what we think of today as fox. Fox today, when we call a man a fox, we're thinking he's sly and kind of crafty. When we call a woman a fox, it means that she's kind of attractive and beautiful. But in those days, somebody calling you a fox, especially the rabbis, and Jesus was a rabbi, and he called Herod a fox, it meant that he was a low, good-for-nothing person. It was not a compliment in any way, not even in a, you know, like, he's crafty. And Jesus called Herod a fox. And yet Herod says that Jesus is innocent. So Jesus is innocent according to Herod, according to Pilate, according to Pilate's wife. And most important, Jesus is innocent in the eyes of God. Ultimately, God is the most important one who's convinced of Jesus' innocence. We knew that from the very beginning of this book of Luke. Luke chapter 3, verse 22, Jesus is being baptized, and it says, the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. Jesus is innocent because God says he is. It was God who gave Pilate those dreams about him being a just man. Ultimately, it's God who proves Jesus' innocence by Jesus' raising from the dead. The proclamation of Jesus' innocence is something Pilate repeats in this passage three times. Verse 4, he says, I find no fault in this man. In verse 14, again, he says, I find no fault in this man concerning those things which you accuse him. And then in verse 22, it says, Then he said to them a third time, Why, what evil has he done? I have found no reason for death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And so three times Pilate proclaims, I find no fault in him. He's innocent. And yet still, he delivers them over to them to be crucified. Jesus' innocence, his sinlessness, is repeated often. Why? Because we need to hear about it. We need to know about it. As we just sang in the song Man of Sorrows, that one verse says, Guile, guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he. He's the spotless Lamb of God. He is innocent, and we need an innocent Savior. In John 1:29, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and says, Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And Exodus 12:5, Ron showed us a couple weeks ago when we were discussing the Passover. It says there, Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it from the sheep or from the goats. A lamb without blemish, meaning perfect, without any spot. And in regard to Jesus, meaning pure and holy and innocent. Jesus was innocent, and that's the most obvious thing to everybody in this whole situation. But secondly, Pilate's greatly wrong desire in regard to Jesus was just to get rid of him. I believe there was a kind of fear in Jesus. What? Because of his wife's dream? She says, I've suffered greatly many things in him because of a dream to have nothing to do with this just man. I bet you Pilate didn't want to have anything to do with him because of his own conscience. He knew that Jesus was innocent. Therefore, allowing him to be killed was just plain wrong. And this is why Pilate, at the end of it, according to Matthew, it says Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising. He took water and washed his hands before the whole multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just man. He had to go, imagine, before a crowd and get some water and show himself washing his hands. And he did that in front of them all. And they said right after that, they say, let his blood be upon us. They were trying to relieve him of that duty. Jesus is even compassionate toward Pilate in this regard. Jesus answered John 19:11 and 12, Jesus answered, You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin. Jesus is having compassion on Pilate and saying, You know, you have power over me. Pilate had just told him, You have power. I have power over you to crucify you or to let you go. And Jesus says, You'd have no power over me unless the Father had given it to you. Then therefore, the greater sin is on the part of those who delivered me to you. And then it says after that, verse 12, from then on, Pilate sought to release him. This was really bothering him. This man is compassionate toward me. In this situation, I'm in trouble. And he's trying to release him. He knows things are not like he would want them to be. Yet Pilate's response to the fear he has in regard to Jesus is all wrong. What did he do? He tried to pass him to Herod. As soon as he hears anything about Jesus
from Galilee. He says, is he from Galilee? Is he a Galilean? And as soon as he hears that, verses 6 and 7, he sends him to Herod. He wants Herod to judge him. Jesus in Pilate's mind is ultimately reduced, you could say, to being a problem, one that he wanted to get rid of. From that time on, it says, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, if you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar. He wanted Jesus released. He wanted to wash his hands of him. He would have rather passed him on to Herod and had Herod make the judgment. But it just didn't happen that way. They just kept saying, crucify him, crucify him. And when they said to him, if you release him, you're not a friend of Caesar, as if Jesus was a threat to Caesar, then he had a fear that was greater than his fear of Jesus and his greater than his conscience. And that leads to the last part. Pilate obviously knew Jesus was innocent. He feared going against his conscience. He feared the various things that he was hearing about Jesus. But what Pilate misses, what he underestimates, what he minimizes, is Jesus' power. The power of morality, the power of truth, and the power of God. Jesus had been captured, beaten. He was beaten more after that. He was crucified. And yet with all these things, there was a strength in him, the way he handled himself, that Pilate saw, and it frightened him. He saw Jesus was different. He saw he was innocent. But what he didn't see, or even if he saw it, it wasn't enough for him to see or change his action. He didn't see the power in Jesus. Pilate was thinking at that time of his own power, as he says in verse 10 of chapter 19 of John. Then Pilate said to him, are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you? Pilate was saying, I have the power, Jesus. You're not talking to me right now. I have power to crucify you. I can send you to them and crucify you. I have power to release you. You could even think of that as power to save Jesus, as if he thought he could be Jesus' Savior and help him. He must have realized, though too, he lacked that power because he wanted to save Jesus, but ultimately he didn't. Ultimately he heard the Jews yelling, crucify, crucify him. Pilate saw and knew Rome. He knew Caesar. He heard the mob yelling, crucify him, crucify him. And ultimately for Pilate, the yelling, crucify, their threats, you know, you're not a friend of Caesar because this man's making himself a king against Caesar. These things came on one side, and his protest, but he's innocent, was on the other side. And ultimately, one side outweighed the other. One side was more powerful than the other. On one side, he has Rome. On one side, he has a mob of angry Jewish people. Pilate, therefore, wishing, he wanted to release Jesus, again called out to them, but they shouted, saying, crucify him, crucify him. Then he said to them a third time, why, what evil has he done? He's arguing, he's fighting for Jesus, you could say. I have found no reason for death in him. I therefore chastise him and let him go. He chastises him because this is what they would do sometimes with somebody they thought was not guilty, but they wanted to appease the people who thought he was. So they chastise him. But it says, but they were insistent, demanding with loud voices that he be crucified. And the voices of these men and the chief priests prevailed. The loud voices to crucify him, that's what prevailed. It says, and then it says in verse 24, so Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they requested. He tried, but he just couldn't do it. He wanted to get Jesus off, but they were louder. They were more powerful. It was loud versus truth. It was power versus truth. The truth was Jesus was innocent. But you could say the truth lost that day. Or at least it seemed like it lost. It's the entire world. Because they were Jews and Romans, all against Jesus, all against our Lord Jesus Christ. They were arrayed to impress. They were loud. They were arrayed to scare. They threatened Him. They were arrayed to be loud and seem powerful, yet ultimately they're paper tigers. And Jesus, as humble as it may seem, was He wins in the end. It's best to be on His side. Acts 4:15-31 and Psalm 2 talk about this. Jesus had power to judge, and He had power to save. Remember, I read, then Pilate said to Him, "Are you speaking to me? Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you?" Pilate thought he had that power, but who really had the power? Jesus has the power to judge each one of us. Jesus has the power to save each one of us. He was the one who had the power. Acts 4:24-28 says, "So when they heard that, they raised their voice." This is after Peter and John had healed a man and they came back after they had been beaten by some of the chief priests and scribes. And it says, "Lord, You are the one who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of Your servant David have said, 'Why did the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing?' The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ, for truly against Your holy servant Jesus, whom You anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together." And then it says in Acts 4:28, "to do whatever Your hand," God's hand, "and Your purpose determined before to be done." And what was to be done? Jesus was to die on the cross. That was God's plan. Why? Because Jesus would die for our sins. Why did the nations rage? Acts quotes from the Psalms. And it ends with, "Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and He perish in the way." Jesus has strength to judge. Jesus also has strength to save. The Old Testament also told us in Isaiah 53, "Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Who's the arm of the Lord? Our Lord Jesus Christ is the arm of the Lord, meaning He's the strength of God. And He was the strength right there, because if you read the rest of Isaiah 53, it talks about Him as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. It talks about Him, how He has borne our griefs and He's carried our sorrows. It says He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. It says that all we like sheep have turned away, but God has laid upon Him the iniquities of us all. It talks about His suffering in connection to His strength. And this is what the cross does. This is where we see the power of God. Pilate didn't see that. Pilate saw innocence. He saw a man that he thought he should save, but he didn't see power, and he didn't see the God-man who could save him. In 1 Corinthians, Paul writes, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Notice it says, "It is the power of God." Nobody was seeing the power at that time when Jesus was dying on the cross, when Jesus was being beaten. Pilate missed that. He saw the innocence. He saw Jesus was a good guy who was in a bad situation. But he didn't see the power. He thought he could be Jesus' Savior. He didn't see Jesus as His own Savior. And we need to see Him that way. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You for the Scripture that shows us that Jesus' death on the cross is the power of God to save. And why? Because He died and He took our sins upon Him. And then also He rose from the dead. Our sins could not keep Him down because He was sinless. He was holy. He was just and He was right. And so, Father, nothing could keep Him in the grave.
And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you that he overcame death, and he overcame that penalty that we deserved, and he overcame it as a man that we as men and women who have sinned can trust in him and not in ourselves, and have the salvation that only he has the power to give. And Father, we thank you for this passage. We see even Jesus' enemies, even these who did not really know him, could not help but see that he was innocent, that he was righteous, that he was good. Even people like Herod and Pilate. And yet they still crucified him. They still fell into the way of the world and into the same way as those ultimately they were yelling, crucify and crucify. And Father, so we pray too that you would make us strong in such situations if they come up, that we might be bold for Christ, that we might do the right thing instead of the wrong, and that we might sing his praises in all situations. Father, help us to walk with you and to serve you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn.